Hey, welcome to the new meta, episode 123.
1, 2, 3.
Oh my gosh. Flawless start as usual. Yep. They have gotten better lately.
Yes, so. They have. True.
I had to train you a little bit, but we're there. Wow. We made it.
So, tell me, be honest with me.
Okay.
Are you playing WoW right now?
Right this exact moment, though.
I'm watching you, dude. I'm fucking watching what, you.
You know, you kind of can I check the auction house real quick? Wait, hold on. Is there a PoE segment on the schedule where I can zone out?
Yes, and
check
the auction? Unfortunately.
Yes. All right. So I maybe during that section.
Nice.
No, I'm not. I'm actually not playing right now, though. It's been pretty fantastic. We had a lot go on since our last podcast, man. So we had season 22 dropped Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Diablo dropped Monday.
WoW dropped Monday.
Yeah, that's what I mean. See, I haven't slept. So I can't even talk. So I got sick. I started getting sick Thursday night, man. So I was sick on the Diablo launch. I still sucked it up. How long did we play for? We did like 13 hours.
15. So I think we stopped playing like 2 or 3 hours before I was done.
Yeah. So we went pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty decent start. And then, I didn't sleep at all then, did Saturday, and then I did 15 hours of WoW yesterday. So, it's been crazy. It's been a crazy week, 3 or 4 days for me.
Yeah.
So, on top of being sick. So, it's nuts. But yeah, it was interesting, man.
Yeah.
You
want
to get into the poll first? You want to start talking about what we did in the season?
Let's get into the poll. So, this is so relevant and kind of funny. So, last week we asked, will this season start without a hitch? Nope. Crash guaranteed. Of course, flawless.
Of course, flawless. That's final answer.
And 50% of the vote said, nope, crashes/lag guaranteed. And 43% said, of course, flawless. As a feel to be wrong, 43%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty flawless for the most part, if you don't count all those times where it crashed and we couldn't play the game.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So P and I grouped up again this season, and you know, our goal was to do the kind of Bone Spear XP metas, right? Where we didn't want to touch Rat Runs. We've all done Rat Runs into the ground, even though Rat Runs is by far the play. And so, you know, we did the Shrine leveling, which is kind of new to this season because of the clones. And so the idea is you go into Torment 6, you know, at level 1, and you just like touch pylons and try to survive, basically. And you just look for zones with high density. And so we were doing that, and it was actually going pretty well once we kind of figured it out. It was going pretty fast. And then I think around like level 28 or 30, servers crashed.
Yeah. It was, somewhere in the mid. Just dead. We couldn't make a new game. Couldn't do anything. But what we could do is we were able to play a campaign. So I don't know what kind of experience bonus they put on adventure mode, but it's something, because when we were playing campaign, we got little to no experience.
Yeah.
So we were doing the same methods in campaign mode. We were just running through and doing the story and clicking the pylons and mm-hmm. having it carried. But man, it was bad. We ended up, we probably had to do that for how long, you think? 30 minutes?
Yeah, we made it all the way. 45 minutes? We made it all the way to like Hadrig and killing the Wretched Mothers. And then,
yeah.
About that time, the servers came back up. But there was also a point, I think, 20 more levels down the road where servers went down again, and everyone in chat was warning us, so we had to switch to Rifts.
If you're in a game, you just basically, when the servers went down, you couldn't create new games.
Right.
But if you're in a game, you were okay. But once we exhausted all of our pylons, then we had to just go to Rifting, and it broke the strategy up. And then we couldn't rift at T6, so we had to lower the difficulty, which then we couldn't crank it back up to do more pylons. And it was just a thing. But ultimately, it wasn't that. I mean, we still got 70 relatively quickly.
Yeah.
You know, it took us, I would say, it was probably an hour and 20 minutes in around the time we dinged 70-ish. So if we wouldn't have had, you know, we couldn't even make our characters when we had to log out and log back into the game. There was no pop-up creature
two
characters.
Two seasons in a row on that.
Yeah, so it took us like probably 10 minutes to even get our characters created, and then all the other stuff. So that being said, it would have been easily under an hour if things wouldn't have you know, gone crazy.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad. It kind of reminds me of that. Do you remember the early levels, the early seasons when it took 4 hours, five hours to get level 70? Like I don't know if we were just, our strats are better now or the power creep and experience creep is a thing. But I definitely remember it taking 4 or 5 hours in like early seasons.
So. There's definitely like 5, 6 seasons there where I was like, I'm not even going to play opening weekend. I'm just going to get a power level on Sunday or Monday.
Yeah. Because you don't want to go through that process. Yeah. Painful. I remember trying to do the bounties. And like there was a one where you had to like raise the lift up, defend the lift in Act 2. I can't even remember the name of it, but you could farm that over and over. Mm. And I remember spending a whole season doing that. And like, oh my gosh, it was so bad.
Yeah, so
let's talk about the leveling strat.
Yeah.
You want to talk? Like, what did you think of it? Did you like it? You dislike it?
It's kind of, you kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, if you guys caught the stream that night, we were kind of discussing it, and it was nice in the sense that it was new. Like, we were not leveling the same way we've always leveled, which is either Rifts or Cursed Shrine or whatever they're called, Cursed Chastities. But. I don't know that I was in love with it. I think at the end of the day, I'd rather just do Rifts if it was really kind of up to me. If I was picking a playstyle I would want to do, but obviously I would do the shrines because it's the most powerful way. So I'm glad that it's not kind of staying in the game because I don't know that I would want to level like that every season.
Yeah, I don't think that I really like it that much. I mean, it was cool for once because they break the monotony and it was a new thing and like, oh, this was cool. It made the time go by really quick because you're actively doing something, you're looking, you're communicating with your team if you have a team, and that part of it was pretty cool. But if I had to do this every season, I would be like, this is not a good thing, Blizzard, we need to change this. Mm-hmm. But for one season, it was cool, it was all right. So
after we hit 70, we kind of, you know, our rush, like I said, was to hit Bone Spear metas kind of as fast as we possibly could. And I thought we were doing kind of okay. We were hitting like what we were doing, 105s, speeding 105s by kind of the end of the night.
Yeah, we were doing, I think maybe, 105s to 108, something like that.
Yeah.
But they were going okay.
They're going okay.
It was different and it was cool. It wasn't rats, but it was really obvious how underperforming it was to rats.
Yeah,
like we ended up getting 850 Paragon when we stopped, when I stopped, and we could have easily gotten hundreds more if we would have done rats, you know.
Yeah,
but
the other odd thing that I kind of noticed, and you know, I don't want to say that it's because of anyone that was in the group or anything like that, but you know, I was able to basically leave the 105s in the group and go do like 106s, 107s faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a Bone Spear Necro. So I don't know that, at least early on, it didn't really add that much value for me personally, which was unfortunate. Yeah. I was hoping that it would be like, oh, I'd see a huge difference. Like that would give me like 10 more GRs or something like that. But
no. Yeah. And that is kind of weird. And then for me, it put me at a disadvantage the whole time too, because I spent all my materials and all my things trying to get Z Necro gear. So Z-Monk gear, sir. Yeah. So I'm playing Z-Monk. And so I wasn't able to do my 70 solo. First night to unlock primals, and I had a small blood shard cap and like all these other, you know, handicaps that held me back. So then as soon as I started playing Saturday, it was like I had to, all right, well, let me throw a DPS set together, and you know, what pieces am I missing, what am I not missing, and do my 70 and all this and that. So it kind of threw me behind quite a bit too, I feel like. But it was better than doing, I mean, I didn't want to do rats, you know.
Yeah,
it would, in hindsight, the power of rats would have been kind of nutty just to see how much Paragon we could have gotten. But
yeah,
but I'm kind of glad we didn't. So for sure. I don't think the Bone Spear meta is something that I would do again, though. You know, but
yeah, for me as a solo player, like it's been kind of nice because, you know, I do tend to prefer playing by myself versus playing in a group. And Bone Spear is just insane for that. We were speeding 110s after day two in 3.5 minutes, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, just absolutely nuts. We're up to 115s now with I think 1400 Paragon. It's been really nice to be able to level up this fast without having to run rats. Of course, you know, I think at the end of day two, I was at like 1100 or maybe 1200 or something like that, and Rax was already at like 1650, and he's been grinding rats since, you know, hour one. basically, yeah, to give you that impression of how much more powerful it is.
Yeah, and the difference in 1100 to, what'd you say, 1600?
Yeah, it's big.
500 paragons, like that's, I mean, it's 15 times the experience. You, yeah, know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. So, yeah, it's pretty nutty. I mean, rats are definitely broken. I think this just demonstrates how we need something else besides rats to be good, though.
Yeah,
like we need to actively, I think, try to develop some ideas for Blizzard for four-man metas, speed metas, that they could be like, oh yeah, we could do that. Like, hey, if you tweak this and tweak this, then you could make this comp that you could do four-man metas that would be comparable to rats, but it would be different, you know, and then see if, you know, at least show it to them. So that, yeah, they're like, oh, maybe, you know, you never know. Maybe they'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, rats is kind of unique in that sense because, you know, a solo rat could not even dream as going as far and as fast as a rat run. Whereas, like, right, you know, the Bone Spear was like, I mean, might have even improved by myself. I mean, maybe with a perfect setup, I would get like 5 to 10 more GRs out of a group setting, but it's pretty wild how big of a difference it is between like a solo rat versus a group rat. Like, it's night and, yep, day.
Yeah, it is pretty nutty. And that's kind of the thing, is you're going to have to develop something that only works in group play. Mm-hmm. Because if you buff things that work in solo as well, then you're screwing up the balance of other things. So, mm-hmm, and then on top of that, you want it to be speed metas too. So, but yeah, it's interesting though. It was cool to do for a season start. I'm glad we did it. It was a good time. It does make me, like, it was harder to play, I feel like, too, at least for me on the Z-Monk, than it would have been to do rats, like the play style. Not that it was hard to play, but it was so much more work to play it than it would have been to do rats. So it's like, after a couple hours of it, I'm like, man, I'm kind of tired of doing this. You know what I mean? So it's like, this isn't as fun. So,
yeah, I get that. But yeah, so it's been pretty good. You know, I've probably been like, gosh, at this point, I'm probably 60-40 solo to group. We're pretty much maintaining rank one. You know, we kind of lose it when we go to bed, and then we get it back the next day. I didn't really looked into push. I didn't push on PTR because I only had like a couple days, and, you know, my interest is more speed stuff. So I kind of just like followed what I thought was meta for the Bone Spear push setup. And it was like, going okay, you know, we're maintaining rank one, but like Sunday I was just like having just not a good time with it. I just didn't feel like the damage was there and my toughness was lacking. And so yesterday I just changed it up and like I was like, I'm gonna do my own thing. Like, I'm gonna do, like, I think this will be better and I think this makes more sense. And oh my god, but yesterday we just like flew to the top. It was easy. So I definitely recommend, if you are looking at the leaderboards, you know, give my build a try, because it is night and day better than what everyone was running day one. Speaking of leaderboards, let's kind of like walk through real quick. So Necro, you know, kind of obviously probably the most powerful solo class right now with Bone Spear, is at a 135 currently.
135 in the first weekend,
yeah,
of this
day, what, you four?
Know, it hasn't even been a week yet. Another 135. That's,
nutty.
I keep, this just is more fuel to my, we need a global nerf. But what else do we got? What do we got for Barb?
Barb's at a 125. It's probably Frenzy, right? No, it's Whirlwind. Okay.
Yuck.
Let's see. Crusader, probably still FOV, right? No. Akan. What is this? Bomb.
Is that Thorns? Look at the shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it bomb build? Yeah.
It's a bomb build. Set at 130. Interesting. Okay. I didn't think that would perform that well. FOV is ranked 2 though. DH was at a 131. Probably God, because that's what everybody's playing. Yep.
Oh yeah, there's no way it's not God.
Monk is at a 126. Paj,
Shenlong. That'll push this song with Wuko probably, but yeah.
Grimmage already looked at. Witch Doctor is at a 128, probably Mundanugo. Yep. And then Wizard. I actually don't even know what Wizard's playing. Twister?
Oh, they did fix it where you can see the fourth cube slot on the inspect. I didn't realize that. So that was broken on PTR. You can see it. Yeah, it wasn't showing up. So that's pretty cool that they did that.
I think Wizard is an LOD Twister. Interesting. Yeah, 130 LD Twister.
Okay.
Interesting. So there's some new push builds out of this.
That's not too bad. So what's the lowest on that group that we just went through? Was it Monk?
It's Monk or Barb. Barb's 125. Monk was 126. So it's Barb.
Yeah, so Barb. Give Barb some love, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they need love, honestly. I think the other classes are a little too...
Yeah, you're right. Nerf their belts.
Yeah, nerf bar belts. It's 135s in the middle. Like, people are going to... I don't know, man. It's going to go nuts. This is going to be a crazy season. If they're at 130s already in the first weekend.
Yeah. So overall, you know, what... compared to other seasons past, how would you kind of stack this one?
Compared to other seasons, what?
No, like, it's your impression of the season after 5 days, this season versus seasons of the past.
I mean, to me, I haven't played as much this season. This is one of the first seasons that I've been pulled away this early in. Usually I'm good for a couple weeks at minimum. But with the WoW launch being a couple days later, I really only went hard Friday and Saturday. I would say from the launching standpoint, this was the buggiest we've had ever. But I would say that this was just, it just reminds me of how much fun the season start is.
Yeah.
Because we played until the sun came up. I was sick on top of that. So like, I was already like, dude, I don't even want to play. Right. And so by the time we started playing though, I'm like, fuck it, man, let's go. And it's so much fun that you don't want to quit.
Yeah.
So the sun came up and I'm just like, all right, man, I got to get some sleep. But it just reminds you on how fun the level starts are for this game. So that's really good. But the seasonal theme, it's cool. It's more noticeable lower levels, which I think is good. And then it's not as prevalent, it seems like, in high levels that we noticed. Like when we were doing our group stuff, when we started getting past 105 to 110, the damage of the clones really dropped off. But
yeah.
Prior to that, they were smashing things.
Yeah, they're wrecking. So
I don't know if that's based off of our sheets or scaling that they did with the clones. I don't know exactly how that math is working out.
Yeah.
But I like that though.
Pretty irrelevant for me, pushing the top. Yeah. After like 110 or so, I barely even noticed that they're there.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I kind of like that, man.
I agree.
That's a thing that it shouldn't influence the top portions of the leaderboard, but for people that aren't that good or people that are new or whatever, it's like, oh man, this is crazy. This thing's just blowing shit up everywhere. And the monk clone was really cool, seeing the wave of light and the bells drop down. Like it was cool to see.
Sure. And the necro corpse explosion spiders.
Yeah. That's always the good. Spiders are cool. Yeah. But other than that, I don't know, man. I mean, the power creep is so crazy that it's like, okay, so we're doing 130s in the first weekend. You know, I don't know. We need a reset really bad. We need something because the power is just so high.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I guess I rank it okay. If the server performance wouldn't have been an issue at the start, it would have been okay. It was fun to me. The leveling 0 to 70 usually is my least favorite part of the entire season. That's usually the part where I'm like, this sucks. You know what I mean? And I didn't feel that this way because we had the new strat. It was something new to do. So that portion actually went by really quickly to me. I was like, damn, we're 70 already, you know? So
interesting.
What about you? I mean, how are you ranking it?
Honestly, like it's pretty good. There's a couple different variables for me. So, you know, if I'm looking at this season from perspective as like a solo player, like, wow, I'm insanely powerful. You know, like that is actually nutty as a necromancer to be, you know, speeding 110s and not having to like die when a mob just like looks at you. It's right. It's bizarre. It feels surreal, I guess. So that's been nice. Like, you know, the amount of XP I've been able to grind solo is really great, and that feels good. And playing Invincilancer, you know, in the T16s is like stupid fun, stupid fast. So like, you know, that the Ice Spear combo with the running the keys with the Invincilancer, I've actually really, really enjoyed it. But if I'm rating this from a like group perspective, I would still say that, you know, the season that we played the Whirlwind Barbs and the Crusader FOV.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was more fun because, you know, it was just so different and it was so powerful. Like we didn't feel like we were at a disadvantage to rats. Like we were.
Yeah, we weren't gimped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I think that's a good point is like in the back of my head, the whole time we were doing this, I kept thinking like we're handicapping ourselves really hard right now by not playing rats. And even though, you know, we actively made that choice, it's still, feels kind of bad.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Because ultimately you still want that power and you still want to play what's most efficient. And that definitely wasn't what we did. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. That's why I really hope that they'll juice something up and give us something else to play. Like they could, I don't know, maybe they could find a way to fix the Whirlwind metas and make it a thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
permanently.
Maybe something.
Something
we need. It's just it's the problem is like even if you look at the Whirlwind meta, it was really just strong because of how strong Whirlwind was that season compared to the past. It wasn't even like the group that had that great of synergy, really, if you think about it. Whereas the Rat Run synergy is actually insane. Like the amount of things that are working together in conjunction to like make that as powerful as it is in a group setting is just nutso. So that's really what makes it kind of excel, you know, season after season after season, because there's, especially when you get like things like a fourth cube slot, because it just makes it even better, which is just nuts. So, thinking about a way of how can we make a new meta that's just as exciting and as kind of like synergistic as Rat Runs without murdering Rat Runs into the ground, because we don't want to just like kill Rat Runs.
No, we don't. We don't need. A lot of people say that. A lot of people are like, "Kill rats, kill rats," and it's like, no, you don't need to kill rats. You just need to
make
other things as good or better.
Right.
You know, like don't kill it though. Leave it there for people that like it. You know.
Yeah.
But I agree.
Yeah. So, but while we're on the subject, and you kind of brought up an interesting topic of, you know, we're at that point, we're getting that power creep, right? We're getting that pretty heavy power creep. The fourth cube slot is pretty insane in terms of power creep. And, you know, we've been talking about this since pretty much its inception. And since we saw it on the patch notes, it's kind of like an afterthought. And they actually had to add assets to the Diablo 4 or Diablo 3 for a fourth cube slot, which is something they haven't really done in a long time. So that immediately got us thinking, well, fourth cube slot could be permanent. So, and that brings us to the poll as well. So I don't want to spam that in chat real quick as we kind of quickly talk about this. Do we think that it will go forward? Should it remain? Now that you guys have played with it for 5 days or so, do you think it should stay in the game? P-Child, what do you think?
Yeah. I think it's fun. I do think it's a lot of fun, but I think I have to answer no, because the power creep is already so strong. It is so crazy strong. And as fun as it is to get that extra legendary power, it just breaks the game even more. I mean, like I said, people doing 135s in the first weekend of the season, and it's not the seasonal theme this time. It's just raw power.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would do a global nerf and bring all of our damage down, I think yes. I think it's cool to have more options, even though it's pretty cookie cutter, which you're going to stick in there for most classes. But no, not the way the game is right now, man. We're going the wrong direction. So I vote no.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I agree on all fronts there. And maybe a little bit of self-interest also, you know, as a necromancer. For necromancer, that fourth cube slot is really boring. It does give us more power, which feels good, right, that season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's no question to me that, you know, Necro's going to be at solo 150s probably next week. Like, it's insane. So
yeah,
that's just, I don't know. I really, it's kind of cringe to me when we can achieve solo 150s and when groups are basically fighting for who can do the fastest 150 instead of like pushing GRs. Like, I feel like we need to get Diablo 3 back to a place where people are trying to push, you know, up into the up into the high 140s. And like the best clear is whoever, you know, got the highest instead of who got the fastest.
Instead of time trials.
Yeah. And I would love that, you know, if you ask me, like a time trial leaderboard would be fantastic. Like who can do a 90 the fastest, who can do 100 the fastest. I think that'd be fantastic. But I think that the traditional board should remain the same, where it's like who can climb the highest. So
yeah, I agree. And that goes back to the power creep thing. I think people would be really, really upset for maybe a couple weeks. And then after the season launches and everybody's reset, they'd be like, you know what? This isn't that bad. You know, it's fine. Whatever. Because it's all relative. You'd be like, oh, the top players are clearing 70s. That's cool. I'm doing 65. I'm not that far away. I can keep going. You know right. what I mean?
So, it gives us a lot more, like, I don't know, future bandwidth, I feel like. Because
yeah. It's like, and here's the example is like, they just did a stat squish in WoW. Like, WoW went from item, like, I had a, you know, my druid item level 475 before the stat squish, like, you know, 130 after the stat squish. It doesn't matter to me at all. It doesn't matter that my stats are squished. My item level went down. My damage went down. All my numbers went down. I'm still killing things, and it's still fun. It's still, like, it's still the same game, and it's relative to everybody else. So I don't miss the numbers. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm hitting for 1,000. I'm hitting for 57,000. Like, I don't give a shit anyways. I don't even look at the numbers. It's right. just like, oh, this thing's getting blitzed. And I think it's the same thing. Like, can anybody here honestly sit here and tell me, like, how hard, you know, does your god DH arrows hit when they pierce through something? You don't have any idea, man. You're just seeing, like, numbers flash up on the screen so fast that you're just like, oh, it's dying in a couple seconds. That's amazing, you know? So,
right. I will say, like, people come and, like, did you just hit for blank, blank, blank trillion or quadrillion or whatever? And I'm like, I never even looked.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Like, I remember the first Q that I hit was on a monk, was on the new Justice monk. I mean, so there are times when you'll see things like that. And you're like, was that a Q on the end of that number? Like, what? Because, you hit that big explosion. But for the most part, though, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't remember when Hammer of the Ancient Barb was a thing back in, you know, season
4,
5, 6. Yeah, I don't know however long ago that was. Like, when you were hitting with Hoda hammers, I just remember thinking, like, oh my god, I'm hitting for billions now or whatever the number was. But now it doesn't matter, and it's not relevant. Like, you could take that same build and make it quintillions,
yeah,
and it's like it's gonna play the same. It's still gonna be the same amount of fun, you know. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. I'm an advocate for the stat squish. People say they think it would be really bad for the game, and I would love to hear some counter arguments for it as to why it's a bad thing.
If other they reset than it taking 70. Away power feels bad. That's like the only counter argument.
That's the only argument I can even think of.
Yeah.
So,
but I agree, but to go back to your, you know, original statement, like, I love the fourth cube slot. Overall, I think it does add more diversity. Maybe not be for the necro per se, but for other classes, it definitely does. And I've seen it. You know, like, for the barb, it's kind of a big deal, like being able to wear FNR for classes that wear FNR. It's a pretty big deal. But it's we're approaching that power creep, you know, like that crazy power creep that a fourth cube permanent would give us. So it's kind of dangerous at the same time. But I don't know what do they want the future Diablo to look like. Do we all just want to be running 150s, you know, after 1 week or even less? I don't know.
Yeah. What's the actual end game?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I gotta think that server performance is, I mean, servers are already, the hamsters that run them are dying, so.
Yeah. I don't know what they want from us either, man. But it is kind of like that. Is it becoming a time trial mode?
Yeah. So I will say, like, and you probably have more experience to this, is, you know, like, a stats question, WoW, is that even reviewed negatively? Because I tend to think, like, oh, now I'm hitting for, like, 300. It makes more sense to me, you know, that I'm hitting for, like, 300 instead of, like, 10,000 or whatever. It's just easier to kind of follow.
The only thing for WoW that caused any problems for me was my ability to go back and do previous content. Because in WoW, that's a big thing that a lot of veteran WoW players like to do, is to go farm things that they missed from prior expansions, because you had to have groups to do it. Now you can solo those raids, you can get the achievements, you can get the mounts, you can get the transmogs, whatever you wanted. And, like, so going back and doing that, like, there are times when they've done stat squishes, and at least until the next expansion came out and I geared up, I was unable to do content I could do prior to the stat squish. That feels really bad. That doesn't happen often, but it did happen. And as long as something like that doesn't happen, but in Diablo, I don't even think that, I can't even see a scenario how that's possible. Like, your greater rifts are going to go down, so your number goes down, but overall but another thing that they could do, and somebody asked this in our questions, is, like, they could stat squish us and then just truncate the greater rifts. Like, okay, so now you're doing a greater rift 120 or 130. So what if they just make the health and pool of the mobs in a 120 actually equal what they are in a 60 or something. And then just, so you think you're still doing a 130, but you're really not.
But that's ultimately the problem with, like, that's why they can't go over 150, is because if they made anything larger.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying, like, nerf the health pool, nerf the damage, nerf the health pool, but then increase the greater rift physical counter. Like, does that make sense? It's hard to, like, you could write it out or demonstrate it on paper really easy. But so, like, a 130 now, let's say I'm going to make these numbers up. 130 now, let's say the boss has a trillion health. Okay. So then you do a stat squish, and now that boss has 10,000 health. But you call that a 130, and then now you make a 170, and you give that boss 100,000 health. So people are like, oh man, last season I did 130s. Now I'm doing 145s. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, their greater rift went up, but the stat squish has still happened.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, obviously, it's stupid. You could increase the GR cap if you did the stat squish, though.
Yeah, that's my thing. Yeah. Like, you could do that so then people don't feel like, oh man, my GR level went down. But I think that's stupid ultimately. I think, like, just don't do that. Just make them deal with the fact that they did a stat squish.
Right.
You know, but you could mask the stat squish that totally. Way.
That's a good point. You know, you could definitely do that. That's obviously way more work, but
yeah, you could mask it and then people right. wouldn't know. But it just seems silly to me, because I feel like after the first season or even the first weekend of the season, that they would be like, oh, this is cool. I don't even remember anymore what right. it was like. So we'll talk about it in a couple podcasts later and be like, what happened with that? Like, was it, what do we used to run? 130s? I don't remember. You know, like, it's just like when you think about season 5 and 6 now, you don't remember. Like, yeah, I don't know what I hit on Hoda, but sure. I remember playing Hoda. So.
But we've also always been going up, seemingly. So we've never really gone true. Back.
True. I really don't ever remember getting weaker in Diablo. I don't think it's happened very often. So
if, other than, like, something getting, like, your set getting nerfed, you know?
If it was bugged or something. So, but I don't even remember them nerfing sets. Like, when have they really? I mean, I guess, like, Mundanugo got a little hit recently with the pet gym, and maybe Crusader with some of it. But those are more like bug fixes to me. It's like, man, this isn't intended and been crazy powerful. So
true.
But yeah, man, season launch for Diablo, it was cool. It was fun. It's always reminds me of how social the game is and how much fun that opening weekend is and going ham. So I think it just drives home the fact to me too that they should do more mini events. Like, I think mini events would be such an awesome thing in the game if they would do halfway through the season, whatever their season plan is, do a weekend event. Boom. Done. Be there. Play like a madman all weekend.
True.
You know, so especially when you schedule vacations, like, we know exactly when they happen.
Yeah. You know, that'd be dope. Let's see here. A couple other kind of interesting things popped up on Reddit this week that I wanted to touch on. One is this kind of super interesting video from David Brevik about. Okay. He kind of goes into, like, the whole video is fantastic, especially if you're, like, a Diablo nerd. He talks about, you know, kind of some stuff he talked about when he came on the podcast, which was, I still can't believe that he did that. But he goes on to talk about, like, a particular story in Diablo 2 where, you know, it was going to be a turn-based game. And David Brevik himself was, like, an advocate. Like, it needs to be turn-based and it should be turn-based. And there's, like, 15 members of the Diablo team at that time. And they're like, no, we should make it real time. So they just got together in the kitchen of their, like, workplace, and they took a vote. And, like, Brevik and, like, a couple other guys were like, no, it should be turn-based. And everyone else is like, no, real time.
Damn.
So, it could have been a very hugely different game.
We wouldn't even be playing this shit.
Right.
We wouldn't have World of Warcraft. We wouldn't have exclamation points. Right. Think about all the things.
I know.
I think about that all the time. So Brevik told the story about exclamation points.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
That was fantastic.
And so I'm going to, like, paraphrase, and I'm sure I'm going to get it wrong because I don't remember word for word. But basically, do you remember why he said the guy put the exclamation point on it?
I was just to alert people that there's something new or something.
But I thought there was some kind of weird story. But I didn't realize that was kind of the creation of exclamation points above all quest givers' heads was from Diablo.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it was from Diablo and that those guys thought it up. And I thought the story, I'm going to have to find that story out again, because it was kind of like, it wasn't supposed to go like that. Like, it wasn't supposed to stay in the game that way.
Yeah.
That was like a placeholder or something. And it just ended up being like, oh, that's cool. And so it made me think about it, because WoW's new expansion, they revamped the quest system, and they actually put some tools in that are pretty cool. But one of the things is they, for your main quests, your campaign quest, they put the exclamation point in like kind of like a little shield outline, and it's to differentiate it. And I just, every time I see that, I'm just thinking like, man, what if you wouldn't have chose a question mark? What if you would have put like, you know, a Q there or something stupid? You know what I mean? Like, we'd have, it could be anything,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
but it's pretty cool that Diablo is the originator of it, because every game does that, man. I can't even think any game that has quest givers, they all use question marks.
Right.
I think I've seen any game not do that.
Sure. So. But it's super, I mean, these stories like this are super fascinating, period. You know, even we were just talking about before the podcast, you know, like even having someone who maybe historically has seemingly not done a lot for the Diablo community, like say Jay Wilson, right? Like, who kind of, we think of Jay Wilson as like, wow, he made a lot of mistakes for Diablo 3. But like, I'm sure even having, you know, listening to him and talk about the stories, like all of that would just be like, I'm sure, insanely fascinating, even if you don't, even Alan Adam, right? Like, I'm sure he has some really interesting stories, but.
Right. Yeah. Or the dev stories are the ones that interest me the most, man. It's the ones where they're like, yeah, you know, the reason that we have this is because XYZ, or like, you know, like the name, like Yang's Recurve, you know,
right?
And you meet, you know, the developer that made it, Yang. You're just like, oh shit! Like, when I met him, I'm like, wait, like the bow, you know? And it's like, oh man, he's like, yeah, I made that. I'm like, oh cool. So like, the, you know, those experiences are really cool.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and it's also insightful too, because, you know, like, I'm sure you've been there, like as someone in IT/development. Like, we're, you know, you're passionate about a particular decision. Like, no, this is the way, right? Like, this is what we should be doing, because it just makes the most sense. And then, you know, you get voted against, which has happened to me several times in my career. And sometimes it's turned out to be that was actually the play, you know? So,
and it's hard to suck it up and be like, no, you're wrong.
Right.
Like, no, this is the wrong decision.
Right.
So, no, that's cool, man. I'm glad that they didn't make it turn based.
Right.
That would have. We wouldn't have played it. Like, I mean, maybe it would have, you know, were they going to make it like Final Fantasy VII combat? You know, I don't know. Like, I'm sure we would have played one or two, but there's no way that in 2020 we'd be playing Diablo 3 if it was turn-based. Mm-hmm. It'd be like Baldur's Gate or some shit, you know?
But yeah, super fascinating video. And then I also pulled up this other thread on Reddit, and it's kind of rehashing some of the stuff we've already talked about, but he kind of broke it down in an interesting way. So he's talking about the classes for Diablo 4. And during the development of 3, the developers talked about like a checklist of archetypes that would kind of guide them through class creation. And those are melee warrior, magic range, conventional range, pet class, and /wild card. Where the wild card isn't necessarily like the real or true archetype, like the monk, for example.
Right.
And so comparing that against what we have in Diablo 4, he's kind of come up with this code. So barbarians, obviously the melee warrior archetype mentioned above. The sorceress would obviously be the magic ranged. The druid would kind of be that wild card.
Yep.
And so that leaves the conventional ranged and the pet class archetype types to be kind of grabbed up. And I think the paladin would be another wild card, probably, which wouldn't really make sense for this. But
what if they did? What if they did like a hunter, like a more traditional WoW hunter pet class build?
Mm. So the conventional range and pet class, so they kind of
all in one. What if they combined it? You know,
the rip necro dream. Oh god.
Man. What if they rip necro?
That would suck.
You know, you might have pissed enough people off.
I would just think it would be like, so, like, we'd say it all the time, but it'd be so weird to go from Diablo 3 to pay-to-play classes Necro and then the same exact formula in D4. That just feels weird to me.
If they were going to have a pay-to-play class, though, that is the pay-to-play class.
That is guaranteed success. Yeah.
Yes.
But it still like feels bad, because why are you making Necro pay-to-play in every game you come out with?
What if they just sell a digital deluxe edition and then you can just get that for free?
As long as it comes out with launch, I'll pay whatever you need, Blizzard.
Do you get the logic there for free later on? You're just paying for it up front.
Yeah.
No. I'm just jabbing at the gaming industry's thoughts. But yeah, I don't know, man. It just makes me wonder how much. I think that there are so many tools that Blizzard has and they don't tap into each other. Like, man, they have some of the best PvP teams in the planet on Hearthstone and on StarCraft and on Overwatch. Like, the balancing that they do for those games is absolutely nutty. And then they have some of the best PvE quest design and they have some decent loot systems and raid systems and all these things in WoW. And it's like Diablo is the core fundamental. Like, they should, if they can tap some of those other resources, they could balance all those classes and do the thing. I don't think they do any of that. Like, I don't know how much these teams intermingle, but I would think at some point they'd be like, okay, man, we're thinking about class design. You know, what are we gonna do? What are some good ideas? And then hit up the WoW team. Like, hey, man, yeah. you guys got any ideas for WoW that was just like too fucking nutty? Couldn't do it. Like, what do you got? Let me hear what you got.
Sure.
You know, hey, Overwatch guys, we're going to do PvP in Diablo 4. But like, we're worried about class balance with PvE. Like, how do you guys think you'd balance that? You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah. You know, when we balance, these are our checklist of things we go through. And just like, oh, okay. That makes sense. You know, like they have all the resources right there, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So. I think that's echoed as well as, like, you know, we saw at BlizzCon 2019, some of the itemization discussion and how Ancients even made it on to that chart, God. Right? And like, yeah. That would have been one conversation with someone from the Diablo 3 team. I feel like, hey, do you think we should do Ancients? And they'd be like, oh no, like, community hates it.
Well, like, they probably did have that conversation with the WoW team because WoW put that shit in the game. True. They put in Titan Forged and War Forged, which is basically Ancients and Primals.
But didn't people hate that too?
Yeah, they fucking hated it. Everybody fucking hated it. Like, hated it. And so it's like, I don't, man, that's two different games that use the same system. And they're like, nope. And there it was in Diablo 4 again. Like, we saw it churn up again. And right. then I think the outrage, like, you know, they backpedaled on that pretty quick, I think. Did they officially say there's not going to be Ancients?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I thought they did, but it's been forever, it feels like.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was such a bad idea. But that's one of the mistakes that they can let, like, you know, the WoW team either just copied from them. Like, hey, man, Diablo did this Ancients and Primals thing. You think that would work? And they're like, yeah, fuck, let's do it. Instead of going to the Diablo team, it's like, you think your community likes this? Or maybe they're out of touch that bad. Maybe they're like, oh yeah, people actually do like this. And it's like, well, no.
Yeah.
No, we don't. So.
Yeah. You know? I just remember seeing that chart. I was like, does that say fucking Ancients? Like, are you serious right now? And I had already made, you know, thousands of links between, like, this is Diablo 3.5, and then they put up, like, the same exact itemization scheme as Diablo 3, and it's like, Jesus, guys, come on.
It's like, oh, no. Well, maybe my thought process was maybe that Ancient meant something else. Like, maybe it's Ancient that means it's got, like, an extra power, or it's got, like, something else on it. Like, I didn't really think, like, no, it's just got more stats. Like, no, Ancient, like... What if they would have done that in Diablo? What if they, when you rolled an Ancient or a Primal, like I'll take Yang's recurve, for example. Okay. So Yang's normally has, it gets the multi-shot, it gets the resource cost reduction and then multi-shot damage, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, what if you got a Primal Yang's and it rolled on top of those two things, it threw some other kind of stat on there that you couldn't get on the weapon in a non-primal form.
That's like originally kind of what primals were. So originally primals on PTR were just even, there's like a whole nother tier, right? So you had Ancients, which were like better than normals, and then primals were like a whole nother tier. They were insane. And so your entire season would have been dictated upon whether or not you found a primal weapon, right? Like, you would not be able to get rank one unless you got a primal weapon, period.
Right. Right.
And then they just ended up being like, well, we should pull that back because it's like ancients and that's really fucking stupid. But they made it perfect ancients, which is so silly still. But
it's in the scenario that it gets an extra legendary affix, like what if it could get an extra legendary affix, but it was random on which one it got to? So on top of getting the multi-shot damage, let's just say it could roll impale damage too, or something stupid, which makes no sense, right? But a whole bunch of pool of things were thrown in there. So you could get that, oh my God, that's ridiculous. I just got a Yangs with the fucking furnace bonus too. You know what I'm saying? Like, holy crap. You know what I mean? Like, how pog would that be to get it? But at the same time, if you didn't get that roll, there's no way you're competing. Like, you're competing. If you're trying to compete with people that have things like that, like, it's not going to happen, you know?
And that's a great point, right? That draws us back to, you know,
how much RNG is okay?
Yeah, how much RNG is okay, especially in a game like Diablo 3, where basically the only driving force, I think, for players coming back time and time again is the competitive aspect of the game. You know, if this is a game like Path of Exile, where your whole objective is just to, like, PvE, and there's tons of content, and there's a lot of progression to be had there, it 100% works in that kind of game. In a game like Diablo 3, where it's literally all about kind of the push, the end game push of the leaderboards, and the competitive aspect of the game, and giving everyone like an incredibly uneven playing field that's just strictly RNG, it feels bad. But in a game that's all about loot and having fun, that's amazing. And you'll remember those moments, right? Like, forever.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got that, you know, whatever weapon it is, and you just got a free furnace roll on it or something,
right?
You're like, oh my God, dude. You're like, I'm for the rest of the season, you're like, I'm a god. Like, I'm literally running around. Not a god DH,
right?
Just like an immortal. Like, I'm running around just killing everything, man. Like, that would be, it would be sick. It'd be fun.
It also makes RNG, like, guide making kind of a nightmare though, right? Because you'd be like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's going on, guys? Peachild here. If you get, you know, furnace roll on your primal Yangs.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you have to do for this.
I got a 30-second T16 clear build. All you got to do is farm, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you just would have to build your guides based on the base
and right.
whatever cool shit you get on top of it. It's just like, yo, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think the crazy are like Diablo 3 has RNG in it, but it's not RNG that's fun.
Right.
It's got RNG that's just punishing. It's like, man, I didn't get a primal. I got a primal, but it's, you know, a scoundrel token or whatever, dude. And it's not a good item, but it doesn't make that primal, like, you get a primal weapon. And honestly, man, does it really even feel that good anymore? You're like, oh, cool, I got a primal weapon. But it's not like you're like, look what this thing rolled. It doesn't have that excitement of, like, I just got something that completely unique that nobody else really has. It's just like, okay, I got the thing I need is more of what it feels like now. Okay, I got the thing that I'm expected to get at this point.
And re-rolling an item in Diablo 3, like, oh my God. At this point, it's just the most obnoxious thing in the world. Like, you know you're eventually going to get it. It's just a matter of how much gold and resource you have to do to get it. It's just, it's awful. It feels awful, you know, compared to something like a Path of Exile crafting system. And
I cannot stand
re-rolling items.
I burned through some mats on PTR re-rolling. And like, I'm to the point where I re-rolled so much in PTR, I don't even want to do it on live servers. I'm like, this sucks. I can't stomach it. But I rolled so much on PTR that there, at one point I was like, if this were the actual season, man, like, this is an insane amount of mats. I just went through 50,000 mats to try to get this, you know, primal weapon or even a good ancient neck piece or whatever I was after. And I just remember rolling for 2 hours and I'm just like, free mats. And I'm like, this is ridiculous, you know? So it's not fun, you know, really. So, I'm circling way back around. You were talking about this on your stream right before the podcast went live. You were talking about, how the game, how the game's working, how they had this core system of Greater Rifts and Nephilim Rifts that was a great foundation and they just never built on it. And I thought that was a really good point because you can relate that to POE. Like, rehash that real quick. I think that topic was pretty interesting.
Yeah. And so, you know, one we just talked about this is Path of Exile has this great system called the Atlas, right? They've had it for quite some time. And, you know, if Path of Exile had only still had the Atlas to this day, you know, it we'd be kind of in the same boat. Like, we want more out of the game. It's like, play PoE and Megalol, just run the Atlas, right? But they didn't. They didn't stop there. You can, you know, they added things that you can do inside maps and other activities you can do outside of maps and blah, blah, blah. Tons and tons of things, right? And really, Rifts and Greater Rifts are so much fun. Like, it's this kind of quasi-brilliant, simple system that... Mm-hmm. It's still fun to this day. Like, we still run it, right? Like, yeah, we get bored of it eventually because we're doing the same crap over and over and over again. But what a missed opportunity to build on this kind of great base game. So, like, say you could have been inside of a Greater Rift and an Abyss spawned or a Delirium or, you know, something new and exciting for that season that drops a particular currency that's, you know, only comes out of that event. And, like, if they would have kept building on that season after season instead of just being like, well, we're going to change the numbers on some of the sets so that you can do more damage with a set you haven't done damage with in a while, but you're still going to be doing Rifts and Greater Rifts. If they had kind of shifted the focus to content, we'd be in a much better place.
I think the idea that's really cool, like that would have solved the itch for a couple different things pretty easily. Like, so you still have your Rifts and Greater Rifts, and then you've dropped some kind of event inside of a Rift or Greater Rift that drops a currency that you could use to craft.
Yeah.
That you could use to craft unique, brand new things to influence the way you play the game. And mm-hmm. so instead of buffing a set, now you've made a new item. That new item influences the way you play the old set. So the old set's going to play different now anyways. And then now people are happy because they're like, oh man, you know, you're in a Rift and all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, I just got
Abyss.
You know, instead of getting Reddit posts on, I got a goblin pack for the first time, you're going to get a Reddit post like, yo, I just got this Abyss and check out what I crafted with with the mats I got.
And imagine that was stacking, right? Like, we're in season 22 at this point. And imagine we had 10 seasons worth of random events or whatever. And like, so like, you're still in your GR and like, man, I hope I get an Abyss. Or maybe you can even like, you know, do what you do in Path of Exile where you could like kind of spend currency to ensure that you get like an Abyss and a Rift or whatever. And like, there's all this kind of big brain ways to how you play the game. And oh my gosh, like, we've been in a totally different spot of D3 right now, but instead here we
are. I agree, man. Yeah. And like I said, I don't have a ton of PoE time or things, but I will say that the amount of variety of things that I was dipping my toes into was fun. Like, I actually like delving, and I know that's because I'm new or whatever, maybe you don't know, but that, and then what was the pyramid place called?
Incursion.
You had to the incursions. So the incursions were kind of, you know, I actually didn't like incursions a whole lot, but it was something there though. It's like, oh man, this is, the whole season's event that's still here.
Yep.
It'd be really cool if they carried over a lot of, if they would have done anything like that at all. But, and then put crafting. I think Diablo misses crafting too. Like the crafting system in Diablo is a joke, man. It's totally. Just like...
Reroll. It's not even...
No, I mean, like, they have crafted items too. And it's just like, it's a total joke.
Yeah, and see,
it's like,
when you said that, the fact that my brain didn't even go to the fact that you can go to a blacksmith and craft shit.
Yeah, because it's not even crafting.
It's a joke.
It's purchasing. Like, you're literally just purchasing it from a vendor. So you're not gathering any material. It's just...
And that's why I was so... Like, it's so concerning. You know, when people ask, oh, no, David Kim left. But David Kim was also the guy that, like, Quinn asked, like, will, you know, rares and blues be usable? And he's just like, oh, because, like, you feel like you have too much choice kind of thing. And just like... Diablo's totally missing the point. Like, it's they're totally missing it. And so I'm sure he's just nervous or whatever, but that was so scary to even hear.
Sure.
Because we're gonna repeat our same mistakes again. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, man. It's interesting. You know, we talked, man, I don't even know how many guys I talked to. I talked to a bunch of guys at BlizzCon and none of them had played Lost Ark. None of them.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, the fuck? Like, how have you not, like, this, you know, I get it's not released in NA, but you would think as like, yo, this is a competitor of ours. Let's see what they're doing. Like, how good is it? And I'm just like, oh my God, please play it. Like, I actually begged a couple of them. I was like, please play it. Like, just go see what the combat's like, you know, so you can see how good it plays.
But that's the thing, though. It's like, if you really didn't have your kind of ears to the ground or your finger on the pulse of, like, ARPGs, like, how would you even find Lost Ark?
And maybe that's the thing, man. Maybe they go in and they grind 40, 50, 60 hours a week on Diablo 4 and they come home and they're just like hanging out with their kid all night or their wife and or, you know, whatever. You know, maybe they like to lay in on the couch and watch Ninja Warrior and eat ice cream. I don't know. But so maybe they don't play games. I will say that as of lately, my game time in my free time has gone down. Like, I mean, I'm doing a lot with the releases, but if I'm not streaming, I'm not really playing games much anymore. I'm doing shit with the family and doing other stuff. So maybe that, you know, it could be one of those things where they're just not, they're like, man, I'm working and that's it.
Well, think of how much too is like, so say you are kind of like, maybe you're getting a little bored with the games you're playing. A lot of things, a lot of us do. And I think we've taken kind of a quick survey of chat before, but we just like go to Twitch and we're like, what's new, what's right? You just like scan the kind of the top directors because that's usually a good indication of what's new. Lost Ark's never been up there. Not once.
It did once when it first came out.
Like maybe because Quinn was playing it or something like that.
Yeah, like everybody was in it that one day. You know, that one day it was up there. But yeah, I could see how you could miss it. I don't know, maybe. Like if you're in the PoE, if you're in the ARPG world, I would think you had heard of it, though. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's easy. But at least after, you know, I was like, please go play this. And they're probably like, yeah, right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm not doing that. But maybe one of them was like, okay, and played it. And it was like, yo, that shit's legit. Like, it's too late at this point, though. Like, they can't.
Well, they got, like, that's the best thing that I always say about Diablo 4 is of all the things to get right, they got the one thing right. It's the engine, the look and feel. You know, even if it was the best game we've ever played, but the game looks like, you know, Fortnite, we're going to be pissed. You can't really go back from that. You can't like go back and redevelop your engine. So, you know, they can definitely shift. They could definitely take a shift towards something more in the realm of
I don't think Diablo 3's combat's bad though. I don't think so. And Diablo 4 is going to be better. It's going to be better than Diablo 3's is, but I think we're just jaded now. Because we played it. We played Lost Ark and we saw like how good that combat is. And so now like that's my standard. Like Diablo 3 was the standard before and then now it's Lost Ark. And it's like I already know Diablo 4 is not going to reach the pinnacle Lost Ark hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and unless they do a major revamp, which isn't going to happen. So
we could. They're far enough away.
Graphically it'll look pretty and hopefully if they get the itemization and stuff right, it won't be a big deal. You know what I mean? So but I'm it's just, man, I wish you guys would have played this when you're in your brainstorming sessions. Like, how do we want combat to feel?
Right. Well, let's just copy D3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, to talk about, you know, that line of communication echoing across Blizzard as an industry. You know, the fact that we saw big cooldowns in the DE4 demo. Like, Wrath of Berserker. I
hate that, dude.
Yeah.
So much.
How could you think that was a good idea?
Max cooldown for me is like 30 seconds.
If that, 20?
I don't even want... Like, I want to use a skill. No, I want to use a skill. Like, the problem that I have is I hold on to the cooldown forever.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, nah, this situation's not big enough where I need it. Nope. And I run into that now on WoW. Like, I do that now. And an example is Shadow Priest has a minute and a half DPS cooldown, and it feels phenomenal. Minute and a half, I think, is still too long. But you can pop it and it's always up. Anytime I want it, it's usually up, right? My Druid has a 3-minute cooldown. And it's like most of the times when I want it, it's up a lot of times, but not always. And then if it's over 3 minutes, I won't even use it. I'm just saving it. I'm saving it, and I'll use it like 2 times a night. You know, because I'm like, oh, this is an elite big enough where he justifies me popping this cooldown. And it's like if they reduce the power in half and cut the cooldown in half, I'd use it all the time. But instead, I'm always just, it's in my back pocket as my ace, you know?
Yeah, I would argue that, you know, situational effectiveness is definitely more of the play than like, oh, this is powerful. And so we have to put it on like a 50-second cooldown. What if it's just like, you know, 10-second cooldown, but it's more effective when like there's 3 mobs around you, you know, like just it, it'd rather it play better in certain scenarios than you putting like a 3-minute cooldown on it. And it's just always good.
Yeah.
I'd rather cast more things.
I think chaining of skills is something that Lost Ark does very well too, and that I hope I see more in D4 because they could figure out ways to do that, even with their combat system not being so different. Like, there's no real. It doesn't. in Diablo 3, you don't really get the sense a lot of times where it's like, I need to press this button first, and this is going to manipulate the mobs in a way I can see it. And then I'm going to press this button. Then that's going to do something else. And then I'm going to press this button. Like, there's no real synergy chain combos. Mm-hmm. So did they talk about the classes synergizing? I think I asked them that question even in the thing, but
that's another point. That's literally another point is that, yes, you asked that question and they're like, what are you talking about? Basically.
Yeah.
that sounds good. We'll look into that. When it's the Diablo Immortal team's doing it. Like, yeah, they already talked about class interaction with each other in Diablo Immortal. Like, it just seems like no one talks to each other. Like, every team's got their thing and their heads down. And
yeah.
Yeah. That was like whoa, what do you mean? Like, your stupid phone game has this. Like,
oh my God. just getting wet. So, I don't know, man. It's interesting how the season 22 is come and gone for me. Probably I'm gonna go back to season 22 later on in the season. The WoW launch has really pulled me away, and then Cyberpunk's coming up, and so many things. So what are your thoughts on the season? Like, you get to play for tonight. And then that's it.
Yeah,
right?
Tonight's kind of my last night as a competitive player of the season.
Right. Because so then when you get back, are you think you're still gonna grind the season a little bit, or are you gonna go back? Like, PoE's league is.
Yeah, speaking of that, before we go too far, PoE does have some kind of exciting news.
Okay, hold on. I gotta check the auction house real quick. Tell me if this audio comes back through.
Yeah, thanks. So PoE's doing some December events. They're doing a 2 1-week leagues, which, gosh damn, you know, we talk about this a lot. Like, Diablo 3 could really use some 1 week.
Those are super
seasons.
Dope, man. Like, that's the 1 week leagues are seasons, you know, a league in PoE, but a season in Diablo would be so good, fun. Man.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That'd be so hot.
But so they're doing a 1 week Mayhem League and on December 4th, where they're basically giving just a ton of mods to each zone, so like loot will be insane, but it'll also be kind of difficult, especially for hardcore boys. And then they're doing this one's really interesting. I think maybe even, I mean, the date isn't good for you, but it's Endless Delve. So the whole idea of this particular 1 week league is they start you in Delve. There's no mapping, there's no campaign. You start in Delve, and like, the only way you gear up is just like you go deeper in the Delve, and that's it.
Yeah, that actually sounds really cool. So that's like the worst timing ever. The day before my wife's birthday, like, you know, Lost Ark dropping, we got the Cyberpunk dropping, mm-hmm. Wild stuff. Man, that actually sounds really cool though.
Yeah, it does sound interesting. You don't have hideout, so you can't craft, like, you can't crafting bench stuff. You can definitely Delve craft, which is super popular.
It's going to be like the day after Cyberpunk. That's going to be like, no, sorry, dudes. They should have picked the worst. Maybe that is the worst event. I don't know.
And then December 18th, they're doing a 3 week heist flashback. And the flashback leagues, if you guys have never done them, they're just tons of mods in every map. So just the loots is out of control. Tons of stuff going on. And gear up like really fast and get some pretty crazy combinations of stuff. So, pretty cool stuff overall. Lots of little mini leagues happening in December.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, to kind of go back to what you were originally saying.
Yeah. I don't really remember the whole lot other than, you know, revisiting the season later on. Like, when you get back, you know, like, I'm going to definitely play season 22 more. I only got to play it for like 2 days, but I got to let some of this hotness wear off. And you got to figure, do you think this season is going to go for 3-4 months like the last one? Or do you think that they are like, that was a COVID/oops mistake? Or do you think like this is kind of the new thing?
I think it's, you know, it's a little hard to tell. I would think that going into, you know, BlizzCon line, that things are a bit more structured for the future. But, you know, COVID is definitely taking its toll on a lot of things. And, you know, there's nothing to say that it doesn't get worse from here on out, or, you know, I think delays are kind of the norm now. So,
yeah, February, when BlizzCon line hits, when is BlizzCon line? February 20th?
Yeah.
20th? That'd be exactly 3 months after the season drops.
D3 expansion coming.
Yeah, right. What if they did that, man? Oh, would you totally be like, oh my god.
My brain would explode.
What if it was nothing but just a campaign and that's it though?
And no new class or anything?
No new class, just a campaign.
I think that's setting themselves up for memes, but
okay, what if they put a class in? Who cares? Like, it's, you know.
I mean, it'd be exciting.
No greater rifts.
If it's anything class. Like, yeah, I, you know, if you ask me, you know, I think the Necro is a lot more exciting than the other classes. So if that's any indication of what, like, maybe a Druid would look like, I think that could be exciting.
I mean, the Necro is more exciting if you like weapons, you know, and shitty sets.
What? The Pestilence set's the best set in the game. Like, it's the most exciting, fun thing in the game to me.
Yeah, because of the weapons.
It's shitty, though.
Yeah. But. It would just be interesting. If they didn't add new end game though, it's never going to happen. I'm dreaming
right,
here.
Right,
but
right.
I'm just saying. Yeah, if they didn't add any end game, I think in a couple weeks it'd be boring again. A couple months tops. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're still just doing riffs on a new class, you're like, well, that
yeah.
Was
if
fun,
they but. Actually did an expansion and they did a character class and they didn't add anything new, like it's still like kind of a mega lull.
Yeah, you just after 2 or 3 weeks, you're gonna be like, well. Druid was fun. Now what?
Yep.
You know? So that's about it, except for the, you know, the little World of Warcraft launch.
Yeah,
you know,
talk to us.
I'm gonna talk about WoW launch.
Okay.
Blizzard nailed it for me. Now, some servers had bad luck.
Okay.
I think Area 52 is one that was down for like 7 hours at launch. I don't know of any others. People said maybe Thrall for just a little bit. But for me personally, my experience and a lot of my viewers' experiences, because I was talking to them, it was flawless, man. I mean, like, I was on the expansion hit it right at 5 o'clock, like they said. A notification popped up. Dude spawned in Orgrimmar. He's like, let's go. I'm like, all right. Like, I was already in. Didn't have to log out. Didn't have to reset the game. Didn't have to take a patch. None of that shit. Started the quest and it was fine. I got disconnected twice throughout the night and I played 15 hours straight. No server latency, no hiccups, no broken quests. Like, it was phenomenal for me personally. So if you're on Area 52, sorry, dudes, it really sucks. But for, I think, a huge portion of the player base, man, it was a really fantastic launch. It was a really smooth launch. And that surprised me. I was expecting it to be like the worst possible outcome. I was expecting to not even get to play, honestly. So it was cool, man. I think Shadowlands is great. To me, it's the best questing experience they've ever had in World of Warcraft. I think it's the best expansion story, cohesive story so far that I've experienced. Everything about it seems great. So
what makes it stand out? Like, it's super fun for you so far.
I think it's hard to just blanket it all. So I think they did a really good job with the pre-patch balancing. I think all of the classes are fun to play. All of the classes have something about them that draws me to them. I had such a hard time picking a main character for this expansion. But it wasn't just two characters. It was like five or six. I'm like, man, I like all these things. And then, so that was, that in itself was a good start. I think the art team killed it. I think the design team killed it. The dungeons were designed very well. They looked really cool. The bosses had unique mechanics. The questing zones look fabulous. The best of any WoW zone we've ever had. The story's pretty cohesive so far up to this point. And then, like I said, that with the gameplay changes from class balance and stuff, it just all synergized, man. All these things came together and it's nice. It makes BFA. It makes you really appreciate how shitty BFA was. I guess, like, when you go back, you're like, dude, this is killing BFA. Now it's early, you know, it's honeymoon phase. In 2 weeks, I could be like, yeah, this sucks. You know, there's nothing to do. But right now, it's good.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Don't you zone out on me. Don't you get glossy-eyed over
there. I'm not. I'm listening. You know, I got to be honest. So I tuned in a little bit as much as I could because I'm grinding my face off on Diablo right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Which leads me into an early Fluff 8s because, you know, as I was watching and... There were definitely loads upon loads of unskippable cutscenes.
You could skip the cutscenes.
But not 100%. Really. There was like, you would be like, okay, the quest is talk to this guy. And you sit there and you have to listen to the dumb shit that he says. You can't force it to go faster.
Yeah, so any cinematics you can definitely skip. Right. I mean, I don't know why you would, but at least watch them.
Guy's
once.
Talking. I don't want to hear that.
But there are some times where the guy talks and you have to wait. But I can't remember any that were like minutes long.
Because it's not cringe to you.
Maybe a couple seconds.
For me, it's crazy cringe. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, oh my God, like, please go, 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 go. Yeah. Let me go.
I will say that I had a blast. I get distracted really easy with PvP. Like, I that's one of my favorite things to do in WoW. And any opportunity I had to go kill an alliance, like, dude, I was all over it, you know? So my journey took a little bit longer to get to 60 than it should have. But I had a blast, man. I had a blast killing alliance and leveling up. And I think the story was good. So I think if you're a WoW fan at all, like this, you would like the expansion. I can't see any person that likes WoW liking it. If you don't like WoW, it's not going to make you instantly like it. They didn't reinvent anything. They just took all the good things that they've done in the past and combined them into one expansion and got rid of the systems that people haven't liked so far. So, like I said, honeymoon phase though, man, it's like the second day of the expansion. So it's, you know.
What, you don't have a full review of Torghast and Covenants and all that yet? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Are you even max actually, level yet?
Yeah. Well, I'm really close to max level. I had to stop for the podcast, you know, to work on scheduled stuff, get some questions together.
Stop watching so many cutscenes. You'd be there.
You know? No, if I stopped killing so many alliance, I'd be there. I must have spent 2 or 3 solid hours yesterday killing alliance, man. It was so good. So just don't come stream snipe me.
Yeah.
So. But no, it was fun, man. It's a good time. I'm excited for the PvP revamps and the PvP gearing and conquest gearing systems. So to be able to actually not have to get into PvE rating to get the best gear for PvP seems phenomenal. So as a PvPer, I think it'll be fun to be able to gear characters up and you know, go hunting. So
right on.
Yep. So that's it. So how was your WoW experience? Tell me about it. Because I know you're a closet WoW player. I know you like
when I would have zero time right now. I've been playing 100% uptime in Diablo, which brings me to another thing. Like, so after this weekend, so we played 15 hours on Friday, 17 hours straight on Saturday, came back, played all day Monday, I think 15, 16, or Sunday, 15, 16 hours. And our guys was like 8 more hours, 10 more hours than me. It's like, man, like, I don't have time to do anything but sleep and get back on the stream. I didn't do anything else. I didn't get any, like, things that I needed to get done.
No bills, no groceries. You didn't nothing. Cook. Yeah. So, and this is the thing, man. The people that are like, yeah, man, I play, like, 13 hours a day for the whole season. I'm like, the fuck you did? Like, I don't believe you. Like, I did 3 back-to-back 15-hour streams. And maybe it's different when you're streaming. You know what I mean? Because you're talking a little bit more and trying to entertain or whatever. But 3 back-to-back 15s and you're dead. Like, you were like, oh my God, like, I have to get some sleep. You know, like, you couldn't do that for 3 months straight, 7 days a week. You couldn't do it. I don't care. Like, you're a liar. You're botting. Like, just at least own it. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Crazy. It's nutty. It's nutty. 12 hours a day, it would be insane to do that for an entire season.
For two weeks, really.
I mean, the opening weekend, though, people could do it.
Yeah.
Like, I can definitely see people going 20 hours. I mean, 4 hours of sleep isn't very much.
Right.
But I could see people going for 7, the opening week, doing maybe 4 hours of sleep. But anything much longer than that, it's like your body's going to shut down. You're going to get sick, you know?
Yeah.
So.
What do we got?
What else you got? Is that it?
That's it.
All right. We can jump into some quizzes. This is a short podcast because I got to get on WoW, man. You guys are
shut the fuck.
I got to get my
rank 1 back.
I got stuff to do. So that was your fluff hate segment was the unskippable cutscene?
Yes, unskippable cutscene. Why? Okay. It's not even unskippable cutscene. It's unskippable dialogue, which is even worse maybe because you don't have anything to look at. You're just like sitting there listening. Is this an audiobook or is this a video game? I forgot.
P-Child loves. I'm going to say I love video game launches, man. This is the craziest month of video gaming that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember having this many titles that I was interested in dropping in the same month. And I keep saying that because it's like every time I turn around, it's like I don't have time to finish this game. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have time to finish Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
I understand.
Well, yeah, it's because you suck. It's because you don't like anything, Fluff. Now we got WoW, we got Diablo season going, and then Cyberpunk right around the corner. So you gonna play Cyberpunk at all?
No.
Zero interest?
Zero.
Did you watch the new trailer?
If we come back to the podcast next week, which will be here, right? Okay. And you're like, oh my God, Fluff, this WoW expansion is the best. It's mind-blowing. I can't believe it. This is the best thing in the world. I would consider it.
I knew you loved
it. But there would be zero chance I would ever pick up Cyberpunk because it's like a single-player game.
Okay.
What there's so a 99% chance that you will not come back next week.
Have you PvP'd in WoW? Ever? Have you ever like, I mean, I know you probably have gone on BGs and shit, but have you like ever been like into it? Like, all right, let's go. Let's
I did arenas with Death Knight back in Wrath of Lich King. But
okay. Like, did you enjoy it or no?
Not really. Mm. I mean, compared to like my MMO PvP experience was like Star Wars Galaxies, like vanilla Star Wars Galaxies, maybe arguably the best PvP experience of all time in an MMO. It was really hard to like measure up to that, and it was just like it was okay. Like I had a good time.
But, what was so good about the vanilla Star Wars Galaxies?
Oh my God! It was just like just going into a city. Like you would go into a city with your guild, and you would just hold it. Like this city is ours now, and you would just like hold it off as long as you possibly could. Like waves of rebels.
That just
coming
feels
in.
Like mass chaos, though. Like you're just
it was
there
mass
just
chaos.
Anything you could.
Fantastic. No, it wouldn't be like unorganized. Well, it'd be some organized. Like some guys would come in and be like, "I'm going to take you on," and then just get whacked. But like you know, take like coordination of like a whole rebel battalion coming in to take you out. Plus, the Imperials could have like AT-STs and AT-ATs and stuff like that, bought with factions, so we could like really hold it down. It was fucking awesome.
So we could really hold it down. So if they did a remaster of that, would you be down? Would you play it?
Yeah.
Like you know how they launched WoW Classic, right? What if they launched Star Wars?
I mean,
Galaxy
if it looked the way it did, probably not. But if they did like
I don't even remember what it looked like nowadays.
I mean I remember watching a video and it's like, holy crap, that's what it would look like. Yikes.
Yeah, I'm gonna Google it real quick because I'm curious as to how bad it looks. But let's get into some Twitter questions. It's pretty bad. it looks like Ash. I mean, this has to be modded because like the character models in this image I'm seeing look way better, but it looks like Asheron's Call a little bit. Let's hit up some of these Twitter questions though. Okay. If you guys want to submit questions to the podcast, you can submit them at the Peach Out at Lord_Fluffy or in either of our Discord channels. The links should be in the description below, or if you're watching live, you can type !NewMeta or !The Peach Out, I think. K-Bear says, in terms of class balance, what season do y'all feel what classes were equal in tiers? I don't even really remember. Like, recent memory, was it season 13 when they did the rebig balance? Or was that 12?
12 is the big balance.
I think maybe 12, but I want to say 12 or 13 stuck in my head.
13 didn't have, I don't think there was anything. It was just popular because of the seasonal theme.
Was it?
I don't think there was any balance change.
What about, I would have to say probably the earlier seasons, man, before shit got super nutty.
It's always been a balance. Honestly, the only seasons that pop out to me is like, oh, okay, cool, is the seasons where like multiple builds were on the boards. Like builds were actually, different builds were actually competing for rank one spot on a particular class. That is pretty cool. I don't know that you ever have like perfect, like, oh, everyone's doing 130. I don't really care as much about that.
Yeah.
personally, I'd rather have multiple sets being able to compete for the number one spot of a class than like, oh, every class does 130 and there's total balance.
I think as long as they're in the same ballpark, it's okay. Like if they're in plus minus five, you know, if the highest clear is a 135 and the lowest clear is like a 130, then that's fine. And if you take, but you got to exclude the top 1%, you got to exclude the bottom 1%, take that average middle ground and then see like, okay, this is the average middle. Like these guys are 10 GRs below these other classes. To me, that's imbalanced. Like, okay, there's got to be a reason that all these players are 10 GRs lower. The class isn't as powerful. Let's try to get that up a little bit. And I think that's what they go for. But as far as what season was the best balance, I don't know, man. I would say to me personally, though, I think season 12 was my favorite season because they had that huge rebalance in season 12. And there were so many things to play in season 12. I made a bunch of alt characters in season 12. That was because it just everything was fresh. Everything was new.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably one of my favorite seasons. Maester Magus brings up a good point. It's not really a question, but he said, and I'm going to read what he wrote because it's pretty detailed. He says, the console D3 accidentally went live on Tuesday last week. We talked about that. If you made a character and you didn't log out from your game or your character, you can continue to play it for at least 8 hours. He says, verified by me, he did it, until there was a PlayStation update that required me restarting the console. When the restart was finished and I logged back on, the character was a normal non-season character with the season ended message. However, I could not log back into him because it gave me active season required message. I left the character untouched until opening night and went live. He was playable again with the gear that I had found on Tuesday. Since hacked items are on off, or see, since there are hacked items off season on console, there was one person who brought in a set of hacked gear and items and ruined the first spot on every leaderboard with his gear. Items can't be traded or duplicated on season, so the damage is contained, but it was a major fuck up. Thoughts?
I think
they fucked up by letting it go live early, which may not have been their fault. Maybe there was some miscommunication with the console. Maybe my thing would be like, maybe the patch or maybe the season was set it was weird that it was a Tuesday not a Friday anyways, but maybe the timetable was screwed up because earlier they had told consoles it was going to launch on an earlier date and then forgot to re-update them. I don't know, but or somebody hit the wrong button. Why couldn't they just have deleted those characters or just made them tagged for a different season and never playable? I don't know, man.
I'm not sure there's anyone really bad ever monitoring the console ever to me.
Yeah. How is that guy not banned? I don't understand why he's not banned permanently. Like this, if this fuck box gets in there and breaks the game, sorry for the language. Why isn't he banned permanently?
I don't think there's anyone that monitors the console boards. I've never heard of a wave for a console.
Can they not ban consoles accounts?
Who knows?
I don't even know if I linked my console account with my battle.net. I don't know if that's even a thing. I don't think I did.
No idea.
I don't know. I don't I have the game on Switch. I have it on PS4, but I haven't played them a whole lot. Like I played Switch a little bit. But I don't really know a whole lot about it. So maybe console guys can dig in, but he should just be banned, man. But it does suck. That's a pretty big thing. Yeah. And I've seen that. I've seen that on Reddit. I've seen it on other places where people have posted the guy's doing 40 second 150s. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, cool. You know, have fun. So Hex says, I watched a movie where they hypnotized someone and got them to recall forgotten memories. Do you guys think hypnosis is real?
I mean, here's the thing, right? So before I had kind of a freaky ghost story happen to me, I didn't believe it. I never believed in anything. And I'd heard multiple ghost stories in my life, tons and tons, right? Okay. But until like some crazy, weird, paranormal, unexplainable thing happened to me, I was like, no. So maybe it's the same way. I don't know anyone that's been hypnotized. I've never been around someone being hypnotized. I don't really have any background. So to me, on the surface, as an outsider, it's like, no, that's stupid.
But, yeah. I look at it and I think, like, there's no way. There's no way that you would ever, like, you know, listen to the sound of my voice. You're getting deeper, deeper. I like
subscribe like, with Twitch Prime.
Right? I don't think it's real, man. I think if you're able to be hypnotized, then like you're extremely influenceable. I think like something's probably wrong with you anyways, maybe. I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear stories about it because I personally think it's total BS. I think any hypnosis story is like the person's faking. They're acting like they're hypnotized and they're not, you know? So.
Yeah. It's weird.
Apples or Oranges says, if you had to give a 20-minute presentation tomorrow morning in front of a crowd of 250 people, what would the title of your presentation be?
What? Is any?
You had to give a 20-minute. There's no like money here. That's the bad part. If you had to give a 20-minute presentation tomorrow morning in front of a crowd of 250 people, what would the title of your presentation be?
Why unskippable cutscenes are the worst or bad for gaming?
Why unskippable cutscenes should exist in gaming? I don't know. I think the thing is like most people would be scared to stand up in front of 250 people, and I don't think that I know I wouldn't be. I don't think you probably would be either.
I'm really shy.
I get that from you. I think that's just because we stream. I think if you have the personality where you want to stream, usually you're probably okay in public speaking. Mm. Like I've never been scared. You know, I remember being in. I don't remember what class. Was it psych? I don't know. One of my college classes, and it was like the number one fear of Americans is public speaking. They fear public speaking more than they fear death.
Right.
And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, you'd rather die than give a speech? Like, that's what? Crazy. So it doesn't bother me too much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The title of my presentation would be like, why you should come back to WoW. Boom. Done. I don't know if I could talk for 20 minutes. We figured out. The last question comes from Neon Lights. Neon Lights said, if all animals became friendly as puppies, what animal would you have as a pet?
Mm.
So basically, any animal would be friendly and cool and cuddly. Not bite your head off. What would you have?
Mm. It's a good question. But like, would they still be as destructive as a puppy, you know?
I don't know. Like, see, instantly I go to something really cool, like a lion, right? But then I think, wait, I have to feed a lion. Like, I got to imagine a lion eats a lot. And like, I don't really want to pay for a lion to feed a lion. And then like, lions probably shit a lot too. So then you're going to have to clean that up all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like, nah. Okay, so let's find something better. What else would be like really cool?
Puppy chews on the couch, but a lion like eats your couch.
Eats the couch. Yeah, it's just gone. And it's like, so what if you got like a pet monkey or something? Because monkeys are cool. But then like monkeys are pretty smart and they'd need attention. And then so then like when you're trying to stream, it'd be like, yo, Fluff, come hang out with me.
Opens the door and like, turns off your computer.
Yeah, you're just like, it's smart enough to know like if I turn the power, if I rip the power cord out, like he's got to, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, can't do that. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
What else?
I don't know. Like, I'd say like a bigger cat, but my cat is like, he's fucking huge already, dude.
Yeah. My cat doesn't come in my stream room. My cat's not allowed. This is the only room in the house. My cat already knows. It'll stand at the door and look in, and I just kind of look at it, and it's like, okay, I know.
Wherever I'm at, he's at. I couldn't stop him. He would like literally just bang on the door for forever until I let him in.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he bang on the door to get out?
No. If I'm here, it's fine.
What if he has to go to the bathroom? See, that's the biggest pet peeve I have with my cat. Like, so if my wife and I are in the bedroom and the door shut at nighttime at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, it'll randomly just be like, okay, I want to come lay in bed with you guys. And it'll start pawing at the door and meowing. And it just goes louder and louder and louder until eventually you have to, it will never stop.
Yeah.
And so I'll get up and I'll open the door and I'm like, come on, man. And I open the door and it comes in the room and then I'll jump in bed and it'll climb up in bed and it'll lay down. And then like, but the same thing happens if it's in the bedroom and we shut the door in the middle of the night, then it starts pawing and clawing at the door, trying to get out. And I'm just like, oh my God. So I can't stand it.
Yeah,
Say a shark. Can we have a shark?
Oh, shark? It's terrifying.
No, but it's friendly as a puppy.
Oh, it's still fucking scary looking.
It would be scary. I'm kidding. You wouldn't want to feed a shark either.
No.
That'd be horrible. I can't. It's got to be small and cuddly. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. A squirrel? If they're like a puppy and they weren't so fucking crazy?
Yeah, they're
kind squirrels of, are pretty cute. Chipmunks? Chipmunks are adorable.
Like a little panda? Do they make mini pandas? Can you get like a panda that only stays like this big? Dude, that'd be cute as hell. Like a baby Yoda size panda?
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of that, listen, no spoilers. I'm not going to say anything. Have you been watching Mando?
I have.
Dude, I think it's good. This season is phenomenal.
I don't think it's that... I mean, it's good because it's Star Wars.
Fluff hates everything.
I don't hate it. It's watchable because it's Star Wars, but it's just like it's all over the place.
I think this season's so much better than season one.
I
like it. I like it.
Baby Yoda reminds me of my cat. He's just fucking, he's always being a little
into shit.
Dick. Yeah.
Eats everything.
Right.
Oh, I think it was. Yeah. Okay. That's spoilers. I won't say anything. All right. So that's it for the questions. If you guys wanted to submit questions to the podcast, like I said, hit us up on Twitter or join Discord. Drop your messages in the new meta sections we have set up. If you guys want to catch more of me, you can catch me at the P Child everywhere on all the places.
Was that you booting up WoW? Is that why your screen got real bright all of a sudden?
Oh, no. What are you talking about?
What else do I talk about? You know?
No, actually, it wasn't. It was me flipping. I was flipping from the schedule page to
sure, if dude. You can,
yeah. See, look, I'm still doing it. See, look, you can see it.
You're I'm alt-tabbing from the... WoW to a web page.
It's not up. Yes. I mean, it's going to be.
All right.
It's going to be. The addiction is real, man. Listen, there's Alliance. There's Alliance scumbag out there. We got to save Azeroth from him, you know?
Right on.
Got to do it. All right, guys.
Easy.
Peace.
Until next week, boys. And we're going to hear more about how much P-Child, like he,
Shadowlands. No, wait, we're not here next week. We're not here.
Yes.
Are we here next week?
Next week.
Okay, never mind.
The week after that, we're not.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Anyways, until next time, boys. See y'all.